Next on BYUSN, 8 is great. BYU men's basketball wins an 8th straight game and take care of Utah on Saturday night. But was that the exclamation point we were all hoping for? Head coach Kevin Young and freshman point guard Yegor Demin break down the win over the Utes and look ahead to what awaits in the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City.
Running back LJ Martin gives us an inside look at spring ball in the running back's room. What's his motivation heading into his junior season? Plus, BYU lets go of Amber Whiting in part ways after 3 seasons. Who are the top candidates out there for the job?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is a winning Monday, March 10th, and it's been basically a winning month for BYU.
Yes, it has.
Holy cow.
I'm Jaron, by the way.
Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Good to do the show with you again.
It's been a long time.
My name is Spencer Linton. As he mentioned, he is Jaron Jordan, a man who is already preparing to renew his season tickets for the Marriott Center next season. Holy cow, what an atmosphere on Saturday night.
It was so fun. How about the season at home? 15-2, Spence. Averaged 17K for the first time since 2010-11. I don't know if you knew this, but that's when James Taft Fredette played at Brigham Young University.
That guy.
Selling out the last several games. It was an electric atmosphere. It always is in there, but it was up a notch. Who said, was it Richie? You said it was a volatile crowd?
Yes, he used the word venom.
Oh, venom.
There was a lot of venom in the crowd.
It was good. But my favorite was the gymnastics school sign. There was a Just Like Football chant. It was, 22-21. Oh. That crowd was ready to go. We'll show you some of the best of that. But what a night in the Marriott Center. Now, I was disappointed that BYU lost USC in 3 sets. But if it had to end in 3...
In men's
volleyball, which I was calling Saturday, it had to end in 3. I took my scooter up the road because there would be no parking. Made it for the end of the first half, saw the second half, so that was nice.
There you go.
But I wish BYU would have won in 3 against USC. That would have been better.
That would have punctuated the entire weekend for BYU athletics.
Yep.
But
absolutely.
Yeah, you were not going to miss that atmosphere.
No. I was bummed that we were going like off an hour, but yeah, that's another day. We'll figure out the schedule next year.
Oh, and the color dynamic of those uniforms in that stadium with all of the Royal Rush, incredible. On that note, rise and shout. We got a lot to talk about in what's trending.
Over the shoulder to Dowlin. Dimmer. 3. Bang! He got it to end the half! A showcase assist from Yegor Demin.
Did Kata block his two-hand jam?
8 wins in a row to send the Cougars to Kansas City.
And in a tie for 3rd in the Big 12.
How about that?
No less.
Wow.
What's trending? Presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. 23rd ranked BYU, soon to be in the top 20. We'll find out in probably like an hour. Beats Utah 85-74 to, as Greg Rubel said, win their 8th straight game. And they finished the regular season 23-8.
Yeah. How about
most
that?
Wins in
How
a regular that? Season since that glorious COVID year team back in 2019-2020. After the game, I asked BYU head coach Kevin Young how he and his team managed the emotions of playing Utah on senior night and finding a way to win.
Yeah, it was a lot of emotions, honestly. I think we just tried to rely on the fact that, you know, we felt like we owed them one from what happened up in Salt Lake. And that was kind of, I think, what was the motivating kind of message throughout the last couple of days. So, you know, you kind of knew it was going to be somewhat of a grind like that. But, you know, credit to our guys for making the second half really what we kind of wanted the whole game to look like.
Okay, assessing how that game played out, 85-74, an 11-point win. BYU was an 11.5-point favorite.
Aww.
Was the victory over Utah the exclamation point you were hoping for at the end of this current 8-game win streak?
Yes and no. Yes, because yes, BYU won. A double-digit win. That's great.
Speech arrival.
No, because I wanted the margin to be bigger. There was a point where BYU kind of had the pedal down there up 19 with about 5 minutes to go and a couple threes, the Hunter Erickson dunk, which is pretty good, by the way. It gets closer. Whatever. It was clear that BYU was a way better team, especially in the second half. Utah doesn't have the horses. BYU does. BYU has the coaching and the NIL. Utah does not. They're about to get the good coach. I don't know that they're going to have the NIL. We'll see. Allegedly. BYU does great in that. The Dawson Baker game. Dawson Baker was awesome. Good to see him lead BYU in scoring, knock down some shots. That was great.
He got BYU going.
Good balance with Saunders, Kata, Boskovich. Demon, all in double figures. Would have loved more scoring from the seniors specifically. They combined for 23 points. But that speaks to how great this team is. You're not relying on those four seniors on senior night to carry you. It doesn't matter what combination of the 10 guys are in there, still waiting for Cannon Catchings to get back. We'll see if he's back Thursday against Iowa State. It's not about the individual with this group. It's the collective. Utah shot 35%. BYU played great defense. 17 turnovers from the Utes. That was awesome. They stayed in the game with 25 offensive rebounds. That's what they do. They go a little big, but they don't have a ton of shooting. BYU was out-rebounded by 19. Didn't matter. Eight-game win streak, baby. BYU's one of, if not the hottest team in the country. Five quad one wins in that time, which, by the way, get used to that because every game here on out is a quad one type game, right? Baylor is 31 in net, by the way, so that's barely a quad two. BYU with five quad one wins on the season. Somehow the road ASU one's a quad one. They stink, but they're 72 in net. Thank you, Big 12. Three ranked wins, Kansas, Arizona, Iowa State. Like, what a streak they're on. They punctuated with Utah. Would I have loved the margin to be bigger? Yes, but whatever. You beat Utah. You owed them one from losing in Salt Lake. And it was an awesome night. It really was a celebration. Like, BYU fans know when there's a moment, and there are a lot of moments this season in football and men's basketball. That was a moment for the Cougars, and it was a celebration of the whole year. Like, packed gym, who's who was there, we'll get to in a second. Like, it was great. It was great.
I'm never going to complain about a double-digit win over your rival, especially when there is payback involved and on an incredibly emotional senior night. Trevin Nell told me late after the game, my adrenaline was flowing early in the game. He's like, I knew that when I put up my first three-pointer, it's probably going to brick super hard off the glass. I'm probably going to shoot it like 5 feet too far because there's just so much emotion and adrenaline in that game. BYU started this game 0 for 13 from the three-point line.
They're trying to make it a game, apparently.
0 for 13.
What?
But you know what? I was never worried because I'm looking at how BYU's defense is competing and that it was still a one-possession game at that point after starting 0 for 13 from three.
How much better is BYU than Utah if they can lose
13
threes in a row?
That's what I'm saying. I was never like, okay, I'm nervous. This is really weird. Because at some point, the shots are going to start to drop. And there was the regression to the mean. BYU missed their first 13, then made 8 of their next 14. And then the pull away. You're up 19, as you pointed out, with 5 minutes. Sure. Would every BYU fan like to beat Utah by 30? And
I wanted more than Kansas. I wanted 35 plus. That's what I wanted.
Rivalry games just have weird elements. But I was never, what I did like about the win is I was never truly concerned with about 10 minutes left in the game. Thought BYU has this thing under control for the final 10 minutes of the game. And in a rivalry scenario where they're ultra motivated, I'll never complain about that. I thought this was another example of BYU showing that they are not a one-trick pony.
Right.
You can miss your first 13 three-pointers and still win by 11.
Last year's team, I don't think they win that kind of game in the same way.
Because it's probably
close. They were very dependent on, we've got to, as a collective, make a bunch of threes here or we're going to be in trouble. They had to shoot 32%. They had to get to like 12 threes or a lot. Like, that'd be a lot. But I was never concerned. Cade Bakeda, by the way, we've seen it during this win streak. He cranked it up a notch. I thought he went up another notch in this game. He was angry. Like, it seemed personal for him. Then he goes to the free throw line. And, you know, they're hacking him. BYU's hacking Lovering. Like, that block was incredible. Richie Saunders goes up. The hang, by the way, was great right there.
The hang
Saunders
time
goes
and
up,
finish, yeah.
And he's legit, I think, going for a layup. But he knows that Cade is just going to clean up whatever doesn't go in right there. And boom, goes the dynamite. It was fun to watch Cade Bakeda just get mad. Like,
angry Cade.
I would not want to mess with that dude.
Angry Cade is typically a good thing for BYU.
Absolutely.
You want to talk about rim protector like that?
He's 6'8", but he plays like he's 7'1". Like, his athletic ability, his skill. This is a play I really love, too. Richie going for it.
Just grab
throw it.
Throw it down. Dunk it.
Love it.
He plays with so much force. BYU's defense, they can hang their hats on this. And early in the game, because the emotions were high, and Kevin Young said in a few early timeouts that I was in and listening to, look, we got to calm down, understandably. Defense will help you do that. And Will Voigt was saying, look, you're amped. You're off your feet. Like, you're going for ball fakes. Go back to the principles.
Trying to swat it out.
Yes.
Which Trey Stewart did later.
Go back to those simple principles. Stay on your feet. Yep. Stick with the game plan. They just had to work through the emotions, it felt like, almost of that first half. And then there's the turning point, holy cow, of Kevin Young playing the two-for-one game late in the first half. There's 45 seconds left. He calls a timeout. He draws up a quick play. Kaba has a putback, and then Utah tries to foil it by waiting 6 seconds to inbound the basketball because they don't want to give it back to BYU again. Didn't work. Caleb Lohner turned it over, and then Dallin Hall hits that 30-foot three-pointer, and just like that,
lit off.
The Marriott Center's top blows off, and holy cow, BYU's into the locker room with some momentum. And to me, I thought, this game's over. Like, BYU, like, there's momentum there.
Utah had a window. It is closed.
I know it was only a four-point lead, but at that moment, I thought, there's no way they're winning this game.
Utah had to play a crazy good game to be in it, right? And they made a couple late threes to make it look like it was a game. This is not a game in the second half. BYU's spectacular. 51 points in the second half.
And they did it a game after a week ago. They scored 52 against West Virginia. This second
in
half
the second
resurgence
half.
With adjustments.
People always talk about adjustments. Like, Kevin Young knows how to make tweaks. He knows how to get the best out of his team, figure things out. And then after the game, I know some people didn't like this. I actually love this. Trey Stewart had this to say about playing Utah.
A lot of friends, shout out Hunter Erickson, Caleb Lohner, Jake Walling. They're like some of my best friends. But I hate Utah with a burning passion so much, man. So just to get that win, I mean, we came in motivated. They got us one earlier, so we owe them one. It was just couldn't have been better.
We've talked about it on the show before. Actual hate is not okay. We don't need to hate anyone or anything. Sports hate, it's just we're competing, we're fun. It shouldn't cross the line. It does often in this rivalry. I love what Trey Stewart said. Like, it's okay, and I'm okay that, Cam Rising said what he said on BYU Sports Nation at Media Day. That's fine.
We said as much.
Utah's going to win some. BYU's going to win some. All good. It's okay that we don't like each other in sports. Trey Stewart adds another soundbite to Max Hall of don't like Utah. Hate him with a burning passion. Like,
yes.
Hey, I do too. And, like, we compete. I don't like seeing that red. They don't like seeing that blue.
It's been going on forever.
That's what makes this fun.
Yes, Cam Rising's comments. You want to go back to 2004? Morgan Scali got in on the fun on Utah's side.
Yeah.
It's back and forth.
Yes, I love this.
It's rivalry. Great.
And there's a line that's not to be crossed. Trey did not cross it. And
he didn't accuse Utah's fans or fan base of anything. It was just, I don't like them. He pointed out, I've got some great friends on the team, but I don't like
former teammates.
The entity that is our rival.
This is part of what makes sports fun. You love your team, and you love to not love your rival. It brings out the best in both of you. You hope that it doesn't cross the line and bring out the worst. But we come together over common cause. We're now in the same league. Like, now Utah has their NBA assistant coach and an alum that probably going to make them more competitive than they've been, frankly. I hate that hire because I think it's a good one. But
it's a great hire.
It's a great hire. What they're missing that BYU has is competitive NIL. BYU does great in that space.
After the game, again, we referenced my conversation with Richie Saunders earlier. Here's a little bit of that, specifically on what it was like to play in that atmosphere in front of a very agitated crowd on Saturday night.
It was so loud and just like, people really just care, not only about basketball in general, but especially this game. You know, especially knowing that they got us at their place. Like, this place, it was just this venom in the gym. It was fun to be on the court.
Venom in the gym.
The gymnastics school sign was funny. It was fun to have Taysom Hill there, Blake Freeland there, Spicy Tuna Liam O'Brien, who you talked to from the Utah
Hockey
Club.
He's a BYU guy now.
Yeah. Eric Mika made sure that he had a hat.
Like, switched him out.
I introduced myself, said, hey, yeah, Taysom was there. Standing ovation, by the way, for Taysom. The crowd loved it.
Deserved.
Yeah.
Deserved.
There's Spicy Tuna. Dude, his beard is like the reddest beard ever. And then his hair is like brown behind it. I was like, how is his facial hair so different from his hair? Cosmo's stunt was dunking from the three-point line, which he did like 10 or 12 years ago, but... Yeah, Richie for press.
The Rock brought it. Their chants were incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, athletic marketing led by
Dale. There's a Mark Harlan sign that got taken out. Please don't enter the court, I think.
The detail that goes into something like that, a senior night against Utah, was incredible.
It used to just be a basketball game. Now it's a show. It's a show that features a basketball game. Yeah, football as well. It's awesome. BYU finishes the regular season 14-6.
Yeah.
We were hoping for 10-10. Tied for third with Arizona in the Big 12 standings. Is this year's finish more surprising than what BYU did last year?
This is probably the hardest question I'm going to answer today. I went back and forth for like 2 hours
Me
this
too.
Morning.
This is hard.
Am I more surprised that BYU finished tied for third in an expanded conference?
That they got better?
But we thought they would be better, but they're just remarkably better than even our high expectations we had coming into the season.
And it's the first year of a new head coach. He's never been in the Big 12. He's never been in college.
And then you go back to last year. BYU picked to finish 13th, coming off a second consecutive fifth-place finish in the West Coast Conference.
No NIT. And then you go to the tournament.
I wonder what the heck that team's going to be. They finished tied for fifth, so they make an eight-spot jump last year and are a sixth seed, and were number one in the net and all those fun metrics early in the season. But I am going to lean to this year because of how BYU has played in the last month of the season. This has been a more difficult schedule than BYU played last year. I feel like this is a better...
It's not non-conference.
This is a better version of the league this year than BYU played last year. Not by much, but I'm going to give...
Baylor was better last year. You had Texas, but Arizona kind of becomes that team. Which Arizona kind of faded, by the way.
Yeah, Texas wasn't great last year. They were a team that snuck into the NCAA tournament. They're kind of like West Virginia or Baylor.
They're kind of like
year.
What Baylor is this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Houston, I think Houston is better this year than they were last year.
Which, not looking forward to that potential semifinal, frankly. But let's just get there.
Texas Tech is better this year than they were last year. Arizona obviously wasn't involved last year, so that makes it tougher. Iowa State, when they have their full arsenal of players, are a legitimate top 10 team. And BYU beat them with that full arsenal.
They've only lost to number one Auburn and Brigham Young University.
When everybody's available.
When everybody's available.
And playing.
19-2. 20-2 maybe after that.
Kansas just beat Arizona at home. BYU destroyed Kansas. Like, I wasn't sure how Kansas was going to recover after that. But to their credit,
they beat Arizona at home, which
they
is
beat
good
Arizona.
Win, right?
To me, I'm leaning a little bit towards this team because of who BYU beat in their eight-game win streak to finish tied for third. They finished tied for third in a 16-team conference when they were tied for fifth in a 14-team conference last year. So I'm giving the edge to this year just by maybe that mathematical formula, and I feel like the top of the Big 12 is a little bit better than it was last year.
The fact that BYU was so good away from home.
They had a winning record on the road.
They were what, 6-4 in league?
Yes.
What?
One at West Virginia. One at Iowa State. One at Arizona.
Amazing. Like BYU was incredible. You look at, and so 14 wins. You look at the losses, you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They realistically could have 15, 16, 17. They won some games they shouldn't have. They should have beat TCU and Utah and probably Cincinnati on the road. I wonder if you needed to take those lumps to become this team.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you don't.
It's part of the chemistry and the growth.
I asked Danny Ainge a couple years ago, like, the year before 81, you guys losing, like, the second round, did you need to do that to make the run the next year? He goes, no. We should have made a run. Mm. So sometimes it's no. But I feel like this team, with a first-year head coach and staff and a couple of new guys and a freshman point guard, It just takes a sec.
Yes, you
sometimes
have to figure it out.
Sometimes it doesn't take a sec. Gary Croton goes 12-0 in year one, and then Luke Staley gets hurt. But, like, they went 12-0. They didn't ramp up. They went all the way, pedaled down. So, yeah, I'll give it to this year because 14-6 in league. I almost don't look at third place because that just varies by year on how everyone else does. What did BYU control? 14-6! Like, do we feel like BYU is going to do that again next year with AJ? Like, it's exciting times around here, I'll tell you that.
If you can finish in the top six every year of the Big 12, that's incredible.
You're a single-digit seed.
That's incredible.
Every year.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Our question of the day, because of what BYU has done recently, you'll have several options. What's your favorite moment from the 23-8 regular season by Cougar men's basketball? At McKay Dobbins on X answers, the turnaround job orchestrated by Kevin Young after the loss in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Masterclass in adjustments and motivation.
They were what, 2-4 at one point early in Big 12 play?
1-3 and then 2-4.
That's not bad. So
you
12-2 after
and
that?
3. So in your first four games, you lost 3, and then you only lost 3 more the entire rest of the Big 12 campaign.
13-3 after that.
Wow. Yeah, think about that. Lex Watterson 2 on X answers, Kebaketa's game-saving block against Iowa State. That play will be talked about like we talk about the Tyler Allgeier punch-out against Arizona State.
And Kyle Morrell.
I think
it's in the same breath of the greatest defensive plays in BYU history. Number 10 on the road, double OT win in a special year. Especially, like, we'll talk about it no matter what, but if this team goes to the Sweet 16, which they are absolutely capable of, we'll talk about it for sure.
Yes.
It's probably in concrete already.
The turnaround has been so, so interesting.
It's been amazing.
And enjoyable for BYU fans to watch.
And it's not over.
We're just getting started. Kansas City Big 12 tournament this week.
NCAA tournament.
Double bye. Oh, yeah, there's that. BYU's got a double bye.
Wow.
And play till Thursday.
Wow.
Let's keep it rolling.
Women's basketball head coach Amber Whiting announced Saturday she will not be returning as she and BYU have agreed to part ways. Mari Whiting has since entered the portal that same day on Saturday. What's your reaction to all this?
Not shocking that Amari has entered the portal, given the news of her mom not being the head coach at BYU anymore.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised that Amber didn't get one more year. And maybe this is me considering things because I'm very close to the program because I call a lot of the games. But I was thinking about, okay, injuries and how do you handle losing key players early in the season like Mariah Hudgens and Ari Mackey-Williams and having to make adjustments. And several of her players were in and out of the lineup. Cambry Barber, one of her star freshmen, broke her foot late in the season. That kind of derailed some things. And we saw some moments, and Delaney Gibb was incredible. I just thought maybe they'll give Amber another shot. Maybe she pushes for that, and she gets one more year. So I was a little surprised that it happened, in my mind, as fast as it did. But when you look at the three seasons, three consecutive losing seasons, and the trajectory of BYU's athletic department as a whole.
There's pressure to perform.
Then that spotlight gets more bright. And so that, when I thought about that, it makes sense. It makes sense for both sides to part ways. I love Amber. I love Trent. I've enjoyed my time getting to know them on
Absolutely.
A very, very close personal level. And I wish them nothing but the best. So it's never easy.
No.
But to me, the trajectory of BYU athletics as an entire unit forced this move maybe earlier than what I thought it would.
Yeah, maybe there's another year, maybe there's not. A couple candidates to keep an eye on. Nancy Warner's been unbelievable at Lone Peak, like state title after state title, former player. Dan Nielsen at Utah Valley, Lee Kamard on the staff, Danny Kubik, former player who's a successful high school coach in Georgia. Morgan Bailey, an assistant at Utah.
Ooh, Morgan's just been left, an assistant at a number of places close by.
Someone joked with us, what's Juddy up to? Bring him back. That's not happening. But, yeah, there's some interesting candidates. We'll see if it's one of those people or someone from outside that group. But certainly, yeah, the pressure to perform is on. And now you hope you retain a Delaney Gibb because she is a star.
Yes, this is – again, and this is almost a situation like the Utah men's basketball team is dealing with, where some of that fan base thought, oh, Craig Smith, he beat Kansas State. Like, there are some things happening. They want significant movement and support. And
there's pressure from BYU's success, frankly, for Utah to crank it up.
Yes.
There is.
It all matters.
Yes, BYU felt the pressure when Utah was
but
good.
But if you want an insurgence of help from NIL and boosters and you want players to feel good about coming back, you need a fresh start. This feels like the fresh start BYU wants.
Number 23, soon to be, I don't know, number 18. We'll find out in the next half an hour or so. Men's basketball plays in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament, double by Thursday, 12:30 Eastern time. That's during the show. So join Spencer and guest BYU TV basketball analyst for a simulcast as they break down BYU's chances in the Big 12 and the NCAA tournament. We'll do the show live first half an hour, and then I'll go inside the gym, and you'll watch the game and have this cool side-by-side.
We'll keep it rolling, just like last year. Still on the way. My post-game conversations with BYU head coach Kevin Young and point guard Yegor Demian. Why does Kevin have a problem with Dallin Hall shaving his mustache? And what was Yegor's reaction to that incredible play he made on the three-pointer from Mewit Meg? You don't want to miss it. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
I think we just tried to rely on the fact that, you know, we felt like we owed them one from what happened up in Salt Lake.
The halftime is the moment when we decide to win the game, as we call a step on the throat.
You know, credit to our guys for making the second half really what we kind of wanted the whole game to look like.
It's definitely better to play at home. Energy was amazing.
Welcome back to the show. We are live at Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. After BYU's most recent win in their current eight-game win streak, the victory over Utah, I spoke with the head coach, Kevin Young, and we discussed, understandably, the emotions of the night, why BYU is going to be ready for Kansas City, and is he mad that Dallin Hall shaved his mustache? This is Kevin Young on BYU Sports Nation.
Coach, this is always an interesting game. The rivalry dynamic is hard to put into words until you're in it. On top of that, it's senior night. So how did you manage the emotions of it all?
Yeah, it was a lot of emotions, honestly. I think we just tried to rely on the fact that, you know, we felt like we owed them one from what happened up in Salt Lake. And that was kind of, I think, what was the motivating kind of message throughout the last couple of days. So, you know, you kind of knew it was going to be somewhat of a grind like that. But, you know, credit to our guys for making the second half really what we kind of wanted the whole game to look like.
What was the key to overcoming some of those early nerves and being hyped, understandably?
Yeah, I think just trying to get a rhythm. You know, we took a couple punches from them early on in the game, kind of settled down. But, you know, once again, I think our guys deserve credit for their response out of the locker room at halftime. You know, another second half where we go for 51 points. You know, I thought that was really the difference. You know, we had a determination to get to the rim. It was a frustrating night for Richie with the fouls, but he came out of the gate, I think, got two layups to kind of set the tone for us. So a lot of credit goes to him for what he did coming out of timeout or coming out of halftime.
What was the message in the locker room to your guys?
It was about the paint. You know, we felt like we were letting them off the hook by not getting enough paint touches. And then defensively, it was just defensive rebounding. I mean, our first shot defense was really good. You know, Lovering's huge. Asar is a big, strong guy. So we had to do a better job of cleaning up the glass. I don't know if we did it statistically. It felt like it was a little better in the second half, but that's what we talked about at halftime.
How do you feel about your rebounding effort overall tonight against a team that got after it on the offensive glass?
Yeah, wasn't where we wanted it for sure. You know, we got to be better there, no question. I mean, turnovers and rebounds are the key to us being an efficient team. So the turnovers were in check tonight, and then we didn't do a good enough job on the glass.
What do you say to your guys when your team starts 0 for 13 from the three-point line?
Well, I didn't love the threes we were taking, you know. Like, not all threes are created equal. We want to play paint-to-great basketball where we're driving it to the paint, collapsing. You know, we were doing a lot of stuff where, you know, it felt like the lane had, like, an electric fence around it because we were avoiding it so much. So, you know, that's what I didn't love. I thought we did a better job in the second half. But, you know, some teams, that's what they game plan for against us. And, you know, we made an adjustment and then put up a 51 spot because of it.
Utah made a push when you got out to a 13-point lead in the second half. They cut it down to five. What changed on your behalf to pull away from them ultimately in the second half?
I thought we found a group that really had some defensive connectivity, you know, led by Kaba. We went to more of a cross match where we put Kaba on their four, put Yegor on their five, just to give us a little bit more kind of strength on their four, who was having a good game and getting Richie in foul trouble. So, you know, some games are like that where you're just searching for that kind of secret combination. And that was kind of the difference, I felt like.
Right before the under eight timeout, you're on the rush. Dallin scores a layup at the rim and you're super excited. What resonated with you about that play?
I just love when Dallin's aggressive, man. It gets me so hype because he's so strong. He's so explosive when he gets downhill like that. So, you know, I just love watching him be the aggressive version of himself.
What are you going to miss more? Dallin's mustache, affectionately called the Plain City Push Broom by somebody, okay? Or your beard?
Oh, that's a tough one. I got to go Plain City Push Broom. That thing was, you know, I mean, if you get a dunk like he had at Iowa State, can you shave it off after that? That's a questionable move on his part.
Coach, to wrap up on senior night, if you could paraphrase what these four seniors mean to your squad, what would you say?
Man, so much just to our team. You know, I think they all exude toughness. That's what comes to mind with all of them. You know, we've had to rely on those, all four of those guys in different moments. But, you know, for me coming in here, you know, my first year having four guys that have been through the wars like that, three of them here for so long, and then obviously what Mawood's, you know, done prior to getting here. It's a real luxury, you know, to be able to have guys like that. And, you know, I'll miss coaching those guys, but as I told all four of them in the locker room, we got a heck of a lot more basketball ahead of us, and I know they'll enjoy what's to come.
Good luck in Kansas City and in the approaching NCAA tournament. Thanks for the time, Coach.
Thank you, man.
Kevin Young on BYU Sports Nation. Now, he is the reason that Yegor Demin is at BYU. Huge part of his recruitment, and his freshman star had another fantastic game, some notable plays. We discuss all of it after BYU's win over Utah. Here is Yegor Demin.
Yegor, I just want to go right to halftime. The message there was out of the break, attack the rim, push the pace. What changed for your team when you started to do that?
Well, it's just something that works for us last eight games, I guess. The halftime is the moment when we decide to win the game. And as we call a step on the throat, yeah, I mean, just when we play physical and when we're strong getting to the paint, we have more open looks on the three-point line. And this is the quality shots that we want to find. And this is where we are best. We are playing the best basketball.
How was your second experience playing in the rivalry, but this time on your home floor?
It's definitely better to play at home. It definitely feels better to play here in the Mary Center. Energy was amazing. It was incredible to be on the court and, you know, be a part of this historical rivalry and historical games. It's just awesome.
As you look at the big picture, BYU's won 12 of 14. You finish in a tie for third with Arizona. You've won eight in a row. What would you pinpoint as the turning point for your team, given the early conference struggles?
Well, everybody was kind of new, and Coach was saying to us, you know, it was not only us freshmen, he was a freshman too at some point, right? So I think it took us some time to find a way how to play best with each other, how to communicate the best, and to build this chemistry between the players and the coaches, the staff around the team. I mean, we've been working super hard every day, and Coach was telling us every day, bring that energy on the floor, on every practice, every day, work hard, and good things gonna happen.
The dynamic of two point guards, you and Dallin, to your point, it's always interesting to try and figure that out. What are the two of you doing to work together so well?
Well, I think it's just hard to guard us. You know, when it's just one of us on the court, defense trying to press us and get the pick and rolls out. And now when we have two options, when it's the same, it's just really so much more harder to guard us. I think that's the main key. And the chemistry that we were building during the year, during the season, not just with the whole team, but with the exact combinations of players, it's just amazing. As I'm saying, we're coming to the gym every day, we're working hard, and we show the result.
I want to go back to a specific play in the second half when you put a little sauce in your dribble behind the back and you find Mawood for a three. What happened on that play?
It's hard to tell. It just happened. It just happened. And that's why I'm so grateful for just my individual development, because something like this happening and you don't even expect it to happen. It just went through and I was like, wow, I did good. Yeah, then obviously I was so excited to get on the rim and dunk the ball, but the help was too deep. You cannot go that far from Mo. Just pass it three. I knew that it was three. I was running for defense.
So you had no doubt that three's going in?
No doubt.
Yegor, what do you and the Cougars need to work on to get right mentally and physically before Big 12 tournament play starts on Thursday?
I think we still need to get more physical, as we can, because obviously the Iowa State game shows that Sometimes we lose the ball so much. And this league is really hard and physical league where referees are letting us play, which is good. But also it can cause a lot of turnovers. I think this is the one thing we got to work on a lot, just to be able to save the ball, right? And this is a lot of me as a point guard. I gotta take a lot of responsibility for that. And obviously just keep pushing our line, running as we're running, shooting as we're shooting, and dunking the ball like we're dunking the ball. Well, Kaba.
How have you adjusted to the physical play?
I think it's, again, coming back to everyday routine on the practices when Trey is guarding me full court. And first couple months, I was struggling. I was really suffering and I was frustrated, and it's for everybody. It's just competition during the practices and inside of the team. And what is the most important, I think it's a healthy competition. So coming out of the court, we're all friends, we're best friends, we're family. On the play, in the practice, we're ready to die for the ball and just to make each other better.
All right, a couple of quick hitters to finish. You mentioned Kaba. What does he mean to this BYU basketball team?
Kaba brings crazy amount of efficiency to this last games. And I was just talking to him. I just love the way he plays. I just love the way he brings energy, his defensive efforts, his offensive efforts. It's just amazing. Kaba does so many stuff in the dark that nobody sometimes really notice. Obviously, we're not talking about Iowa State block. Everybody saw that. And it would be shocked if somebody didn't see that. It was amazing. That was probably, and coach was saying the same thing, it was probably one of the craziest plays, well, for me, I've ever seen for sure. And coach is a little more experienced than me. And he said that was just crazy. And Kaba is just a really good guy. You know, coming back to our bigs are making so much, the situation so much easier for guards and for all the team with their work on under the rim, on the screens, on the seals when we're penetrating. It just incredible amount of work that they put into the game that not sometimes you can see on the stat line. And I think this is what is the most important. That's what we love them for.
All right, and last question. How do you feel about Dallin shaving his mustache?
That was a mistake. I didn't like that. Everybody hated this move. He was supposed to keep them. I don't know. But again, that's not our business. This is not our business. Dallin does what he does. Dallin's still Dallin, man. We still love him. It's with no matter. No matter what. It was a little more flow with the mustache.
Yeah, you go.
A little more sauce as we talked. A little more sauce.
Well said, a little more flow and sauce. Yegor, congratulations on an 8th straight win and a top 4 finish in the Big 12.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I love listening to Yegor talk. Dallin wanted me to remind everyone that he played well before he had the mustache, too. He said that to Saturday night. 4-seed men's hoops plays in the quarterfinals, Big 12 tournament Thursday, probably against Iowa State. We'll see. Coverage begins on BYU Radio starting at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time.
After the break, we've got a little more flow and sauce. We'll recap a busy weekend across BYU sports. Headlines on the way. We love Dallin with or without the mustache. This is BYUSN.
I did good.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to a very, very busy edition of Monday Headlines.
Number 23 men's hoops beat Utah 85-74 Saturday night to finish the regular season with an 8th straight win. 23-8 overall. Dawson Baker led the Cougars with 15 points. Saunders, Kata, Boskovich, Demon all scored in double figures as well. With the win, BYU, 4-seed. 23 wins, most in the regular season since 2020.
Also with that victory over Utah, BYU improves their Big 12 record to 14-6, tied for third with Arizona in the conference standings. Due to tiebreakers, BYU already locked into the 4-seed in the Big 12 tournament. They'll take on either 5-seed Iowa State or the winner of Oklahoma State and Cincinnati. If that winner beats Iowa State, it all goes down on Thursday for BYU in Kansas City.
It's going to be a rematch with the Clones.
It will be.
ESPN's Joe Lenardi projects BYU as a 5 seed. Goes from a 7 to a 5. How about that? Playing 12 seed UC San Diego in Denver. Right now, BYU a projected 7 seed in Bracket Matrix.
Come on, Bracket Matrix.
High seed of 5, low of 9.
Bracket Matrix.
5 or 6 feels right now.
Broken.
I am a computer.
BYU women's basketball head coach Amber Whiting announcing Saturday she will not return for the 2025-26 season as she and BYU have agreed to part ways. During Whiting's 3 seasons as head coach, Cougars went 45-51, 19-35 in conference games. With Whiting's departure, BYU women's basketball associate head coach Lee Kamard will now serve as interim head coach. BYU sophomore guard Amari Whiting, daughter of Amber, has since entered her name into the transfer portal. Not a shocker. Amari averaged just over 10 points and under 4 assists per game over the past 2 seasons.
Number 6 men's volleyball dropped 2 home matches against number 5 USC. 23-21 in the 5th Friday, then had multiple set points in set 1 and 2 Saturday, but were swept. Cougars 12-6 overall, 2-2 in the MPSF. They host Havid Saturday and next Monday.
BYU baseball won both games during Saturday's doubleheader at Miller Park against Stetson. After trailing in both games, no less, BYU comes back to win 5-4 in the first half of that double dip and 7-5 in game 2. Following the victories, BYU now 10-5 overall on the season. Are the Batcats maybe sneaky good?
They're playing better, which is good. Softball went 1-2 in the opening Big 12 series at Arizona State and Tempe. BYU 15-6 on the season. Up next, Cougars play Utah Tech and St. George tomorrow.
BYU gymnastics scores a 195.800 at Arizona in Tucson on Saturday. Notable performances from BYU include freshman Chloe Hoke with a 985 on the balance beam. Sophie Dudley had a 3rd consecutive score on floor of 9.85.
Men's tennis wrapped up non-conference play, 4-2 win over LMU. BYU opens Big 12 play at Oklahoma State Thursday. Women's tennis lost to number 13 Texas Tech 4-2 on Saturday. BYU now 1-3 in the Big 12 so far.
And Jerem, number 22 BYU men's golf tees off this morning at the Lamkin Invitational in San Diego. BYU is the highest ranked squad in the 16-team event hosted by number 25 San Diego State. And golf voiceover.
Tee off already.
After the break, Jerem goes one-on-one with BYU football running back LJ Martin. Oh, yeah. Spring practices are happening.
That's happening.
His motivation heading into his junior season. This is BYU Sports Nation. Have you seen that guy's legs? Holy cow.
Martin makes the catch for the touchdown. LJ into the end zone, up the middle, running to the right side. Touchdown. And here's LJ Martin.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. LJ Martin looking for a spectacular junior year. Had a good sophomore. He got hurt for a little bit, came back. When he was healthy, he was incredible, especially in that Alamo Bowl. Friday afternoon after practice, I caught up with the junior-to-be running back.
All right, LJ, how would you summarize spring ball so far?
It's been good, you know, just getting back out here, competing with the guys has been fun.
What's been fun?
Everything, just competing, going against each other, and, you know, just getting to play football again.
Who do you like to go up against on the defense?
Going against Jack Kelly's a headache, so, you know, I don't really like that. But, you know, it's fun to go against him, you know, because he's a real good player. So, you know, it just shows where I am, so I like to go against him. So,
how's Keanu Tanavasa in the middle on the D-line?
It's not very fun. Yeah, we played against that at Utah, so he's not doing it every day in practice. Yes, it's a little bit hard.
It's like the basketball team with Kaba Keita. Dallin Hall said, I'm glad he's on our team now.
Mm-hmm, yeah, but, you know, our O-line has been getting them, so, you know, it goes back and forth, so it's been fun.
Okay, you've changed your number, 27-4. Why?
I'm not sure. I wore 4 in high school, and then they're like, 4 is available if you want it. And then I also told Miles before he left, I was like, yeah. Because we were trying to do it last year. He's like, if you get me 19, I'll give you 4. So we were trying to do that. But then once he told me he was leaving, he was like, yeah, I want you to wear 4. Like, all right, then I'll wear it for you. So, yeah.
Okay, so why 27 then? 4 obviously is what you wanted, but why'd you go to 27 the first 2 years?
They just gave me that number, so yeah, I wasn't gonna say nothing. They gave me 27. I was like, good enough. So,
have you carried over the momentum in any way from the season and the Alamo Bowl? Because that was quite the season and the performance to finish.
Yeah, you know, we just know what it takes to win, and you know, we're just trying to incorporate that into our spring practices now. You know, just have the same intensity that we did at the end of the season and to now.
Last year it was, okay, no one thinks we're going to be good, chip on the shoulder. What's the motivation this year?
The motivation this year is just, you know, we got to go out there and do what we did again this year. You know, last year was last year, you know, it was great and everything, but now we're on to this year, and we just got to go out there and make the best of it. And, you know, nothing's going to be given to us, so we got to go out there and take it.
Year three for you now. How you feeling now that you're heading into your junior season? What's different for you?
Not a lot. You know, I'm still trying to work hard, get better in every aspect I can. And, you know, it's just crazy, you know, because I just remember coming here 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. I was, you know, just another guy, and now it's year three. And, you know, just crazy how fast it goes.
What value is there for you of, okay, I have been in the system. It is year three for me. Where can you take step forward? And what do you feel like, okay, I feel comfortable in this space now?
Yeah, it's just a lot easier, you know, just dissecting the defense and, you know, just knowing our offense, you know, is kind of know the ins and outs why we're doing things now compared to year one where I just came in and it was, you know, I was just doing stuff because it was told, and now I understand why I'm doing it.
So take me back to that Sam Houston game. You come in the second half, you have like 8 carries for a bunch of yards and BYU wins. Needed you in that one. Where do you feel like you are now versus where you were in that game?
Yeah, I'm really progressed. You know, I feel like I learned so much more just being around everyone else. You know, like guys like Miles and Falau, you know, just being around them. I feel like I've learned so much from them, and I feel like I just matured so much from when I was there. So I feel like I'm a better player now.
Is it weird being the vet in the room now?
Yeah, it's weird being the vet, but also being like a younger guy age-wise. It's a weird dynamic, but it's pretty cool.
What are you, 20?
Yeah, I'm 20. Yeah. So, and then we just got guys that are like 21, 22, and they're still younger, I guess. But so that's pretty interesting how it works.
Yeah, let's talk about the room. So obviously, Sione Moa had a really nice season. Pukai Huonga showed us some really good stuff. You mentioned Jovesa Dumoni, didn't really see him a ton. Talk to us about kind of who's in the room and what you like, what you've been impressed by with your fellow running backs.
Yeah, they've all been working hard, putting in the work, and, you know, just coming out here at practice, and, you know, we get to see all the work that they've been putting in, and, you know, I've seen them just make big strides. Like, Javessi's been made a great stride from last year to this year. You know, it's just night and day difference with him, and the rest of the guys, too, you know, they're all doing their part. Pokai's been really good out there, Sione, Enoch as well, you know, so it's just been real fun.
What's the next step for this offense?
Just getting better day by day, just doing the simple things, and once we get the simple things down, we just got to do the same thing every day. Just compete every time and just win every play, and that's all we got to do to win.
Where do you feel like this offense was great last year?
I feel like we were great in just doing the simple things, like I say. You know, it wasn't too fancy and stuff. You know, just the things we needed to execute, we did. And at times we needed to, we did, you know. And I feel like if we could just execute all the time like that, we'd be great. But, you know, we weren't able to do that at times. But, you know, just going and doing that again, just executing when we need to execute, then also executing when there's times of just relaxation and stuff like that.
Well, LJ, thanks for the time, and best of luck, man.
Yes, I appreciate you.
Conversation I had with LJ. More questions about his rating in college football 25 and whatnot. You can check that out on YouTube. And if you miss any interview shows, Deep Blues, BYUSN.com, free BYU TV app.
What was your favorite moment from BYU men's basketball and their 23-8 regular season? More responses to our question of the day on the way. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. What's your favorite moment from BYU men's basketball and their 23-8 regular season, currently on an 8-game win streak? At JV Fiso on X answers, absolutely throttling Kansas at home.
That was amazing. So fun.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare, elevated from at Jake12Jensen on Instagram, who says, fluent from North Carolina for the BYU-Utah game with my 8-year-old
Henry.
You
can say what he said.
He called it the Holy War.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
His, what does that say? His oi?
His oi? Yeah, I'm not sure.
Not sure what that means.
Oh, his joy.
His joy. Thank you. Okay. I can only read what's in front of me.
Pronounce it in Spanish.
his today.
His hoy.
His oi. His joy equals you paying the best. That's a long trip.
the Schadenfreude, which we talked about, the misery, you get joy from the misery of others.
Yeah, oh yeah, Schadenfreude-ism. Yep. You should all know that word.
Yep.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
All the seniors, Nell, Traore, Stewart, Mag, way to go out on top, that was great. And there's not done!
Our thanks to today's guests, Kevin Young, Yegor Deming, and LJ Martin.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
For Jerem, I am Spencer. Shout out to Brian Taylor. Go Cougs! What a weekend.
Elder Taylor to you.
Sorry.